Detta är kassett nummer 2. Det är sida nummer 1 och det är fortsättning på intervjun med Jan Lindström, Flint, Michigan. Kassett 2, sida 1.
Går den nu?
Ja, vi var alltså på... Det är inte lätt att börja ett nytt bolag eller kompani som du sa.
Ja, okej.
Okay. Well, köpa allting och...
I've worked for Soren Gross for 25 years and then I thought, well, if I can make money for them as a superintendent, why don't we start our own company? And that's just exactly what we did in 1954. We was five of us started Eriksson & Lindström Construction Company.
Vem var Eriksson? Det var en annan svensk. Det var en annan svensk.
Ja, of course he's passed away today.
Var han en äldre person eller?
Ja, han var äldre. He was, I think he was over 80 when he quit.
Var han snickare?
Ja, he was also a superintendent for Soren Gross, but something happened there, so he quit himself. Something went haywire, so to speak.
Så vem kom med idén nu, du eller Eriksson, och starta ett nytt bolag?
Ja, vi startade, and then we took three other people with us. We wanted somebody in the office. Her name was Jean Kelly, and then there was two people I knew I wanted in there too. We was actually too many. But in order to get the money, so we took in a fellow with name of Peter Stuckey, and he just passed away here 3 weeks ago. Peter Stuckey, he was 62 years old. So he was much younger. He was 20 years younger than I am.
So there were three Amerikaner och två svenskar då?
We were två svenskar, but we had worked together with Jean Kelly for almost 20 years. She ran the office. She took care of everything in the office.
Och det var en kvinna?
Ja, hon var en kvinna, Jean Kelly. She was a
she
woman.
She was Irish.
Huh?
She was Irish.
Yeah, she maybe was, that's true. And that's how we started. We was five in the company, but I was the one got it started. Victor Eriksson, he thought he was too old to start anything, and he was, you know, too afraid to lose $5. Let's put it there. And Jean Kelly, she was no better, and she was laid off too. She quit too. Both Victor Eriksson and Jean Kelly quit Sorensen Gross. Something went wrong there, just what we don't have to go into. So they quit, and I had a good job. I was building a build high school in Ann Arbor at the time. So they quit, and they wasn't doing anything there in the spring, and I was thinking too, well, you can make money for other people. Why in the heck can't you make money for yourself? You know, I had that in my head. So we started to talk, and of course Victor, he said, well, I'm too old. I don't want to have anything to do with it. Well, I say, that's no way to talk. You ain't that old. Just because you're 10, 15 years older than us, that isn't being old.
He was married to my aunt.
Yeah, he was married to Gertrude's aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So... And then the other, I wanted to get a couple of other boys in there. And the thing when we started, you see, we're supposed to have $10,000 a piece.
A piece?
Yeah, you have 10,000, she has 10,000, Vic had 10,000, I had 10,000.
50,000 then?
Yeah, so we had something to start with.
We incorporate.
Yeah, we got to buy some shovel, you know, and picks. You understand?
Yeah, but to incorporate, you needed a certain sum of money.
Yeah, we was all incorporated in the company.
So who was the president? You were the...
No, Victor Eriksson was president, but then he left the company. Well, anyhow, to get the money, that wasn't easy. But Victor had the money, Jean Kelly had the money, and I had money for myself. But these other two I wanted in there, they couldn't hardly make it. So I had a few $1,000s, I borrowed them. So we all had the same amount of money. They paid me back. So that's all right, but that's how we started. So we got exactly the same amount of money in there, and we was paid the same too. I was making $250 a week, and then when we started a company, I got $100 a week to get it going. And that wasn't very much either.
No
that
union
was,
scale.
Huh?
No union scale.
No, that was a heck of a note. Gee, that
what
was...
What happened then? You were a union guy now and before.
Huh?
You were a union guy now when you started.
Yeah, but...
What happened now when you started your own company?
Yeah, well, they liked me. So I belonged to the union, but I didn't have no voting. But I paid my dues, and I was still a union carpenter. But I could never go there and vote on it. That's just wasting money. I shouldn't have belonged there, but I want to belong to it anyhow. So I did. So that's the way we started, and I tell you why we got Victor Eriksson in there, because when he worked for Sorensen Rosvalt, we all did, every one of us. It was a company, Hammond Brothers, and that's a big food chain. And we was doing work for them, and when Victor left Sorensen Rosvalt, we got all that work, Eriksson Lindstrom Construction Company, and that was put us, so to say, we got our feet in the ground. By having him, we got that type of work, and it worked out. We worked like slaves for two years, and we didn't get no money either. You know, when you make $250 and then they pay you $100 a week, that's a heck of a note, isn't it?
Were everybody satisfied then?
Yeah, satisfied.
Well, I mean,
heck,
well, you had your board meetings, I mean, were there discussions about
that? That's it. That's all you get, buddy.
That's it.
For 2 years. That's it. You don't get it anymore.
What did your wife say now when you had that?
That didn't make any difference. No,
did
but...
Did she complain? I mean, you had two...
Two, 3 years, it was not easy. Because you start a construction company, if you would start a construction company, if you wouldn't have at least $200,000-$300,000, don't do it. Because if you can't swing it, you know, you need this, you need this, you need this, and if you don't have it, you're just kidding yourself. You go and work for Paul Jones or somebody. Go and work for him. Be better than trying to start it.
So you had to be prepared then. So you built up a capital.
Yeah, that's right. We did. And after 3 years, well, we was doing pretty good. Pretty good. We worked like heck, but we made pretty good money,
so
but
Eriksson,
we lost some time.
Eriksson, no, he had the thoughts of retiring.
Huh?
Eriksson, he had thoughts of retiring when you started, but then he wouldn't quit.
Why? No, oh no. Well, he finally, you know, he was
getting good then.
he finally got, it was a few things, you know. He was too old and too set in his ways. You know, you had to deal with people at 1954.
Yes.
You couldn't deal with them the same way as you did 1940 or 1935 or something. Because union was in there, the union told you, well, you gotta do this, you gotta do it. If I would have had my way, I would have hung a lot of them in the tree someplace.
But Eriksson, no, I mean, how could you keep him on the board to be 82?
Well...
Wasn't he a few years behind then this time?
He maybe wasn't 82. Maybe, I really don't remember.
Was he a union man?
Huh?
Was he a union man?
Was he a union man?
No, heck no, he wouldn't be. He would not. Not that he was long before that. But the other two, Gene Kelly was, but Ray McNeely and Pete was union men, both of them. But you see, we more or less played by the ear. If you're a union man, they kind of overlook a few little things, you know. Otherwise, they down there, they was just terrible, you know, 1960, 55, 60 after we started. Or you couldn't spit on the floor. You had a union business agent, you know, come and tell you couldn't do it.
So they were strong in the 50s, do you?
Oh, you bet. They was very strong.
You couldn't take any labor then without being...
Well, you're supposed to have a hall, you know. You call up the business agent for the labor. You call up the carpenter hall for carpenters. You call up the bricklayer union business in, he sent out bricklayers, but some of them you didn't want.
Yeah, what did you do then?
You couldn't fire them either. Don't send them. That's the reason why we kept the union dues up.
So you could talk to
them? You could talk to them, at least talk to them. And we got along beautiful. We didn't bribe them or anything. We just paid the doggone dues so they would leave us alone. It was worth it. We got along fine with them.
But here you have union guys. Now, they made more money a week than you did.
Yeah, sure.
Wasn't that a funny feeling of it?
Yeah, well, that was for the birds, but there it was. That's absolutely true.
Eriksson didn't like it.
I didn't like it, but there was no way of doing it any different. We had that for about 2 years. Maybe a little more. Then we raised ourselves, you know, when they started to get a little money in the kids.
So you had an office then, you rented?
Oh, yeah, we had an office, really an office. You had to have it. Oh, you had to rent an office, and that was expensive. And there in all, you had to have typewriters and equipment in the office to be able to do anything.
So when you went out then to look at the bid, did you all went out? Or?
No. Victor, he was estimator, and then Pete got in there, Pete Stuckey, he got in there, and the girls, you know, Gene Kelby always had a couple of girls, too. We had 3-4 girls at one time when we was doing. No, I was out in the field. I was the field superintendent, so to speak. You didn't do anything before I told you to do it, okay? Don't go and horse around it. You do as I tell you. No, I'm just kidding. I got along good.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
I got along good with everybody. I had foremen and superintendent under us too. And we had work in Lansing, we had work in Ann Arbor, we had work in Port Huron, we had work in Saginaw. So somebody had to see so these people got what they needed there.
So you were on the go then?
Yeah, I was just thinking how many miles you had on your... I asked you how many miles a year you drive on your car. So a couple of years there, I drove 50, 60,000 miles a year.
Sure.
That's a heck of a lot of mileage. Yes, sir.
It means you were more in the car than...
Yeah, I was in the car more than on the job. Well, you go from here to Port Huron, well, that's 150 miles, and same day you might go to Saginaw, too. And there was always something.
So then you had to hire people on the local plan? Then.
We did, but supervision, most of the supervision, we took them from Flint, so you knew them. But we did all the hiring there. Right, that's true. So then you had to deal with the union there too, you know.
Did you know them then, or did they know
them? No, you went and said hello and shook hands with them. otherwise they would run you. If you could, you know, the best thing was just play ball with them. Don't buck them, you know.
No,
but don't give them anything either. No, sir. Oh, sir. At Christmas time, you maybe give them a ham or something. You know, we always did that. And they was happy. Buy a flower sometime we did, too, to some of them.
No, he gets that.
Yeah.
He gives it to you.
Huh?
No, you give all the flowers to your wife.
Yeah. I got that from the company.
See.
You know,
but the company is still in existence.
Yeah, you know, that's the same name, but I sold out in 1970.
How about your son, though? Wasn't he old enough to be in the company?
Yeah, but it was, you know, don't get relation in there. Then you're in the soup. He was two. I tell you, if you start a company, don't ever be more than three. If you start up a construction company.
Well, five is too many.
It you get friction in there, a little bit this and that, and if I would do it over again, we would have been just three.
There's too many to talk to.
Yeah, too many different ideas, and then you can't use them all. And the first thing, you hurt somebody, and that's no good.
Will everybody have ideas though, true? I mean, can't they listen and believe that somebody is right for them?
Well, that's true. We did that too, but don't be too many in a company. No, sir.
Not even sweets.
Huh?
Not too many sweets even.
No, sir. You'd be better off without them.
Will it work good though, for instance, now a couple of Swedes and Irish and Italians and Germans? Will they usually, do you know any company like that?
Oh, yeah.
With different nationalities?
Oh, different nationalities. We take Terrazzo Flor. You know, you know what Terrazzo Flor? That's Italian, all Italian. Two dozen. And painters, too. And floor layers, they could be Italian, you know, putting asphalt tiles. We built so many schools here in Flint. I really don't know. We must have been built 25, 30 schools.
So you cornered the market then, so to speak. You had no competition then?
Oh, yeah. Oh, you got to have a right figure on, but you can't have it too right. You got to make some money, too. It's a terrible racket, but you got to love it or you wouldn't do it. You know, it's no person has it any better and go down to the factory here if they treat it right and work 8 hours and don't and forget it. You know what I'm trying to say?
But isn't it...
If you go down and work 8 hours, it might be long 8 hours. They come home. When they leave that shop, they all done. Everything is closed. They just close the door and amen. You come home and run a construction company. Well, you lay there and wonder, is it going to snow tomorrow? Is it going to rain? Or is this, what's going to happen? Or the big wind and it blow the thing down?
It's not being a farmer.
That's right. That's gambling. True. Gambling. That's right. There's nobody gambling anymore than a farmer.
Well, it's worse than a farmer because you also have a warranty.
No, and then not a thing.
They get you for about 20 years.
And then you got to have the school done a certain time.
Or else you pay a penalty.
Otherwise, if you can't. And the main thing is whoever is the superintendent or the person is taking care of the work for you, keep a record on everything. Don't just talk. That's no good. So you can prove you've been held up for the architect didn't get the drawing out in time and the weather, that's another thing. Keep a record on the weather. And that's very important. So when you get down to where you might, why are you 3 months behind or 2 months or a week or anything? Some of them penalties can kill you, you know. If you don't keep a good log on your work.
But the weather will be...
There it is.
Then you can get away with it.
Yeah, well, you better know what you're talking about. So construction is just like a farmer.
Yes, but how about the warranty? Now, if something cracks or tilts over, how many years?
20? Well, you're responsible for the building for 1 year after the final payment. When you get the final payment, if something go to heck, you know, say, and then you have subcontractors, you know, sometimes you are, not always. But if you have mechanical contractor, he puts in the furnace and the heating system, and the plumber put in all the plumbing, and so on and so forth, and then you have a painter contractor do all the painting. Say the wall, well, it's fading. You used to, but everything, if I go and buy the paint that's specified, it's not, and I'll show you the sample, you the inspector on it, you always have an inspector too. Here it is. And you checked it. So if you specify something isn't very good, well, there it is. That's your funeral, ain't mine. So, but you have a specification, you stick to the specification and don't, and if you want to change it, be sure you have it in writing and sign. So if it don't come out, it's just big business, everything. Don't trust anybody, what he says, what he thinks, it don't mean a thing. Get it down on a piece of paper and have him sign it.
What happens if they want something else than the architects tell
them? If they have a change?
They break the contract.
Okay, no, they don't break it. Then it's up to the architect to issue a change order. Okay, we want to change this room, we're going to change this wall. We're going to move it out 10 feet. The wall is up. We might have to take it down, or sometime they can do it before. then there's the question, is it extra cost by changing the wall? Well, sure, there's lots of things running. The light is, would be placed wrong, you know, you got to have them in lines. So whatever it is, you get hold of the electrician, how much you want to change the lights, and the painter, maybe it won't be any extra. And same thing you do. Okay, if you want 1 week time extension, keep track of it, because you might need that week, or you have a penalty on, you didn't get done on time. It's a lot too, is it hidden?
And you, but they can't change anything unless the architect
says he issued a change order. I won't do anything for you, but you want me to do it.
You got to sign it first.
Then you sign the change order and we do anything you want. We tear the building down and start over again. Just so you sign it.
How about the architect now? Is he worth 10-12% of the building cost for the job he's doing?
Oh, he don't get that much. Of course, it depends on how big the building is. Say it. $5 million building, he might, you know, he might get 5%, 6% or more, but...
It sounds like a lot of money, though.
It isn't that much. You know, I think today, I really don't know, but here, I've been retired 13 years, huh? Holy Moses. Yeah. You know, I was 7, I'm 83 now. So... I think they get around 6 or 7 today. So they build a $5 million building, that's $300,000.
Well, that's a pretty good sum.
That's a lot of money.
Does he have any warranty or liability?
Oh yeah, he has too. If
the
knuckle
gone, for instance,
then? Yeah, if well then in trouble, I will tell you that.
He will be in trouble, but not you who is building it.
If I build it according to plans and specification, I'm safe. He is in trouble.
He's in trouble.
You'd be in trouble if you're the architect. You know, we did that. We did, well, the building is still there. Yeah, we built the ice arena, IME ice arena out there. And we got into quicksand there. This was 67 when we went home to Sweden. And I said, I'm not going to build the building there. So, you know, the doggone thing laid there 3 weeks. I said, you can't build this building on top of this water. You got to increase your footing, put some more steel in there and everything. You know, it laid there cooked, but then you write the letter to the architect and tell him what you think. Of course, now you stick your neck out too. Because you, the architect, are you going to tell me what to do? Well, we are, mister. We are not building the building because the soil will not carry the building there. We know something too, not all of it, but we know something. We are not building it. Now it's up to you. You tell us what to do and we will do anything you tell us.
What did they do?
I told them right away and I didn't have any. Spread the footing. Make it deeper and put a lot of reinforcing steel in it. I didn't tell them how many bars reinforcing, you know.
You had to pile them?
No, we didn't have, we made the footing
wider.
Much wider, so it was on top of this water. It was too much water there. The building is still there. Mm-hmm. But we stopped. There was a section there, I think it was 50 feet. We didn't do nothing. It was sitting there for a month. They went down there, looked, and then didn't come up with anything.
So you think the architect was lucky then?
Yeah, we told him. He ought to pay us. That's what we told him. He didn't like it, I tell you that. He didn't like that very much. We was trying to tell him what to do, but it didn't make any difference. We wasn't going to lose our reputation and build it on field. I have to tell you this, you know. When we first started in 1954, we was building a lot of grocery stores, a grocery chain here with Hammer Brothers, and we was building one on South Flint. And we had to drive piling in there. Piling, you drive down a big pipe, 70, 80 feet on the ground there, and then you fill it with concrete, piling in there, one, two, and then you put a really cap on it and then carry the building over, then you go over another 20 feet and put another one in there. And then you have a beam with a lot of reinforcing carrying on. The building is carrying on the piling. So the Master Hammer, he's dead and gone a long time ago too. So we wasn't gonna do it to the front of the building. It was the back of the building where they needed this piling then. But for to be sure, when he was through with the piling in the back, we told him to come through the front too, because there had been an old fill there. My goodness, for the last 100 years they had dumped things in there. So we did, we moved that big old rig, you know, and it was Raymond Piling from Detroit, I'll never forget it. So they come up with the rig, you know, and they hit these, they hit it 3 times, see, and it sounded real good. Put it the 4th time, the goddamn thing went down there 30 feet, and in one click. So we built the whole doggone store on piling. That cost a lot of money to put it on the front. They thought they just would need it in the back. And what we did, we took a test of it too. You put 1 square foot there, and then you build a platform. And you put guy wires on, and then we loaded it with cement block, you know. It's supposed to be so much pressure per square foot. The architect figured out. It held up beautiful. It didn't do anything. Held up, so they thought, but for being sure, I told him, bring the rig over here when you get done back and test this thing and see what happened. Sure, 3 times he hit it, they didn't go any, hardly just a little, it was just a crust there. Boy, after they got through with that thing, it just went down. So we drove piling there too. You got to do something yourself.
How do you present this to the owner now that ordered the building built? I mean,
well, there it is. You had to get the old man there, and he didn't like it, let's face it.
Is the architect going to present this?
Well, we went to the architect first, and he thought it would be all right. He told us to put that test on it with blocks and so many pounds on per square foot, and he held up beautiful. There was nothing wrong with it. But boy, once that got by it.
So they're soft?
Yeah, it was nothing but clay, the road junk, you know. So we drove piling for the whole thing. It's very interesting, some of the work too, otherwise it drives you cuckoo.
So you mean it's good to have some resistance here and there?
Yeah, sure. it is.
Then you call the board of directors together.
Huh?
Then you call the board of directors together and discuss it.
We had meetings. You get into some ridiculous thing. This Hammer, the brothers, the old man, he started. In fact, he was the first one in City of Flint, 1912. They start this here, help self, you go and help yourself in the store. And he came from Lebanon, and he couldn't talk Swedish, he couldn't talk English at all, I should say. But he started this little grocery store down here where Buick Mutual Company is today, and put things on boxes and a piece of plank, you know, and you go and pick out your potatoes or whatever. And he waited up with the old man, he could figure out how much he wanted. And boy, he did all right. And then his son took over the company after the old fellow died. He was about 85, 87 when he died. And his son was a marvelous person. And he died when he was 56, I think it was. But they was nice people. But you know, you learn as you go. It didn't make any difference. If they want to build this building for so much a square foot was one thing. And then, because we built so many, we had that down just about pat. So if you told them, well, we need $18 a square foot or something like this, or $20, say 20. Then he would do you down. It don't make no difference if it would be the best price or anything. He said, I will pay you 1950, not 20. So when you, before you tell the old gentleman, you have an extra dollar in there because he's going to clip you anyhow. So it's in there. So you, so he get the satisfaction of it to talk to you and chew you down. He didn't need it anymore in a hole in the head, you know.
But does all companies have that figuring though?
Huh?
Does
no.
All the- Kassett 2,
sida 2. But here was a difference now in age between you and Mr. Eriksson, your wife's
uncle.
What difference did they play? I mean, you had newer ideas, or could he follow along with you in the same idea?
Sometimes he was older. We listened to him.
He came from the old school.
He wouldn't change his ways. It's easy. I was from the old school too. But you have to stop and listen to the young people. My goodness sake, we have no idea. We can do it the same way as you did it 40 years ago. We have new ways of doing it and everything. It was more harder for him to change from being older than it was for me. I went with because the newer idea was the better. I like it.
Because you have to be competitive.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. We ain't going to build the farms like you did when you first started. Absolutely not.
Because you have to cut corners somewhere.
You've got to make it in section and set it in and get it up there.
What did you cut corners not to be competitive? I mean, all the...
Oh, that's a lot of ways to cut it. When you start a job, say you are an excavation contractor. CS one. But I know you might be a little bit higher in what they say, you want 15,000 for doing the excavation, you're going to dig the excavation. She wants, you want 15, she wants 14,500. I'm going to take you because I know you. Because if it's some little extra, you're going to do it. You ain't going to charge me for it. It is a lot how you know people and how you deal too.
But there are many companies, though, like fly-by-night companies, you know, have excavations and...
We have had them too. Just because he's slow, he's not saying he is the best. He is not. And that goes for contractors too. We have got some job and not been low. We got a good name. E&L got a... Eriksson Lindstrom Construction Company today got a very good name and we started it.
So they built on reputation.
And the boys is in there now. They're doing real good.
Are there any more companies in Flint with Swedish construction?
Well, it used to be August B. Johnson Construction Company. And he came from Västergötland. He's dead now too. And then he took in some boys. Myers, but they are not, as far as I know, I don't think they're doing anything. I don't know.
So you've been one of the biggest then?
We're the biggest right now. One of the biggest in Flint, yes sir. The boys is, of course, now there's no Swedes there either. But it's just the
so
Swedish name.
Your son was not interested in winning the new one?
Huh?
When you sold out, your son was not interested?
No, well, I tell you, you had to be careful because the other people had sons too, so leave them out altogether. Don't drag anymore. And I know Victor Eriksson had a son-in-law, and he was carpenter foreman, and he wanted in the first thing you know, it's all relation. That's no good.
You mean you can't tell them off if you
have? No, don't get them in there. You get in trouble. No, no. I wish our son would have been in there. That's right. But he wasn't that enthusiastic. He could see it was just too much headache for it too.
How come we get into the bricklaying instead of carpentry work?
Huh?
How come we didn't become a carpenter?
Your son?
Yeah.
I tell you, because her brother was a bricklayer. Her brother, and he
started... They were the same age then.
And
no, they were not the same age, but I mean, they went together then quite a bit. Or,
yeah. You know,
did they work together then?
Yeah.
Listen how that happened, Jan. See, they took him in the war. It was war. So he was in...
Was Second World War?
Yeah, he was out in...
Your brother?
Yeah. No, my... Our son.
No, he was in Puerto Rico for almost 2 years.
I see.
Yeah.
But he was in the Navy and I don't know what he was doing. Hey, we talking, aren't we?
Are we talking?
So when he come back, I wanted him to go to college. So he went up north to Hancock's up here in northern Michigan.
But, college?
Yeah, but he didn't want to be there. He want to be a bricklayer. Well, what are you going to do? He was there half a year.
He wrote back. I wrote home.
Yeah.
See, he had forgotten so much from school.
Them 2 years, you know.
He was good in school. He had good marks. So he said, I want to be...
Well, I tell you...
He said that he'd be a carpenter like you. You said, no, don't go into that. Be a bricklayer.
No, I didn't want him to be a bricklayer, carpenter, heck, but a bricklayer made, number one, made more money, and it was better work in a sense. You pick up a brick and lay it. Carpenter, you do this and you do that, and you lug planks, and it's harder, it's hard work, bricklayer. But then they laid brick, and then inside, 1948, you know, he had started then, 46 he came back. Mm-hmm. So he had served 2 years apprenticeship. But you had gray style inside the schools, and you did so much more with brickwork. You know, sometime back or 30 years, they worked pretty steady. They worked almost a year round. Because when they couldn't work outside, once you got the roof on the building, well, it was a lot of inside work. Glazed tile in the swimming pools and in the locker rooms. It was today they don't do that. It's too expensive. They nail up some plasterboard and that's it and paint it. And 5 days later, they got the walls kicked. The kids kicked the wall. We built a new high school up there, Northern High School, and our bid was around $6.5 million. And my goodness, we had toilet partitions in the bathroom, you know. I come back there, we always had some little thing go back to something wasn't just right. Here was all the, put in here all the toilet partitions from the boys' room. Was in a pile in the room. I said, what happened to them? The kids tore them down, ruined them, kicked. And then they had the plasterboard in the corridor. Plasterboard, you can, if you have real big, heavy shoes, you can kick the thing, a hole in it. So what they did, they had to go and put a Vince coat on there, or tile or something, about 5 foot high. So they wouldn't kick the, you know, that being stupid, well, if they would have had, even cement block would have been much better.
So there was the architect's...
He was going to build a school.
So
you were the architect. Okay, we want 250,000 square feet. And we want it at the price, right in here someplace. What do you think we can do? So you come up with this. This would be all right if they don't try and destroy it.
But now it costs more.
They had to spend thousands of dollars and fix the goddamn thing afterward. But they couldn't have it full of holes. It makes you sick, honest to goodness. It makes you... And some of them so helped me, you shouldn't say that. I'm not going to say it on tape either.
Yeah, they're changing... The changing world.
Yeah.
The kids.
You know, they used to have lights in the corridors. You know, and some of them fellows, it's 6'11" tall or 7 feet. They just reach up there and knock this thing. They have something in the hand, a book, and just break the light just to be plain mean. They want to send them to jail. So help me. I can't see how to talk about a miserable job, but that being in a high school and being the superintendent for a high school, boy, I, that ain't all either. They have guns, knives, sticks.
Yeah, that's a rough world out there.
Yes, sir.
So, you've been in construction then all your life?
Yeah, that's all I know, huh?
You retired 13 years ago.
1972.
How about you now, Mrs. Lindström? Did you continue with the sawing?
No. Still, she told the lady that he called and answered the phone and said she's through with the sewing.
No, I don't want her to sew, no,
she sir. Was the boss. I thought you were the boss.
Yeah, she is.
She is.
But when it comes to sewing, when she comes, she sews for herself yet today. The heck with it with sewing for Mrs. Paul Jones. No. See, the dress is too short, it's too long,
no.
It's too wide. No, forget
no,
that.
No, I'm fussy when it comes to sewing. They all like my sewing.
But, you never worked outside the home since you came
back? Oh, yes, I worked in the shop.
During the war, now this is not a history. The war broke out, what, 1941? 42, we got in the 7th of December, 1941.
Were you drafted then, or?
I was in A, but I was too old, and then I had a son, too. Was still in school.
So you didn't have to go then?
No, I didn't. But if it would have been real, how was that? But I was registered, let's put it that way. So, I tell you, it was a good friend of us. He was farming down to Buick. And we met one time, I don't know where we was. Well, anyhow, it was Gertrude and his wife, and then it was a friend to Gertrude. And he said, I think I can get you into Buick and work. They was making parts for the airplane, Liberty Airplane, something for the airplanes that used in World War II. So sure enough, they went down there, you know.
Well, you were bidding with us.
Huh?
They were bidding.
Yeah, we was bidding. They was gonna go to work, you see. But he said that he had a lot of ladies working for him there. So his wife went, and then Gertrude, and then it was Myrtle. She didn't go, did she, or did she go? Well, she backed out anyhow.
How about Myrtle then? No. Stubborn,
you see? So she worked there a year and a half, didn't she?
Yeah, till the war was over.
And then they got, the war was done.
He was on the big wheel on the airplane. Yeah, I was on
yeah, well,
there was a lot of ladies working
on the. Oh, it was a lot of ladies. And the other lady quit too. Did she? Did she quit the same time you did?
No, but
we
didn't quit.
The
war was over.
No, they got laid off, let's put it that way. But then she was called back later.
But that was in Buick. That was,
what was
the other factory?
Huh? Well, anyhow, the war was over. They didn't need these ladies. So they sent them home. But then it was around Christmas time. Later in the year, way later, 5-6 months later, they called her back and wanted her back there. But that she did go.
Not Zurich, AC.
Yeah, well, it was AC there.
I didn't like it. I don't think any woman should work in
the factory. Was it dirty work or?
No, it's so much going on there.
No, that was nice, yeah. Clean work.
I was on inspection.
Yeah, but that was an easy job, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was an easy job. It was just, you had to stay there 8 hours and work, you see.
You didn't get anything back.
Huh?
You didn't get anything back. If it wasn't right, you sent it back to.
Mm-hmm. How about, they didn't manufacture any cars during that time?
No, none.
Everything was closed down.
They were just military equipment. You see, they made machine gun by the millions, or by the thousand, I should say. Good ones. And jeeps, you know, them army jeeps, they made a lot of, the factory was all turned over for military.
And then they took a year or so before they could
start. Before they started to make them again. That's right. Yeah.
So then there was a booming town in Flint and Pontiac.
Well, that's right. Flint, Saginaw, Pontiac, Detroit.
And then the union got strong again.
Huh?
Then the union got on their feet again.
That's right. Oh, sure.
UAW.
Oh, that's right.
Is UAW a bad word around this area, or is it a strong word now, or how are they...
How you know? I really don't know. I think they're pretty strong. If they are as strong as they ever was, I wouldn't know.
But so they make about $22 or $20 an hour, or how much do they have?
Oh, they don't make 20. It cost the company that made, but they got so enormous much French benefit, you know. Hospitalization, new teeth, new glasses, and whatnot. And you need medicine, they pay $2 or $3 you go and buy for. I went and bought, both Gertrude and I have arthritis. So yesterday I went and bought for $55 worth of pills for arthritis, but they help, so what the heck? I'm going to buy them as long as I can, if they help, because my arms, I used to get so bad, and she used to be bad. It might be just in her head, but I don't care, as long as they help.
I got it in my shoulders, too.
Oh, sure. So...
bursitis or something?
Rheumatism? Yes, rheumatism, that's what it is. And with all their French benefit, and then they have, I don't know how many, 3 days they have, Lincoln's birthday, Washington's birthday, and another king, you know, Martin Luther King, and you name it. They have 6, 7, 8 of them, and then they get, they don't work, more than 10.5 months a year. And that then they're working every day. They have vacation pay, some of them have 3 weeks, some of them have 4 weeks, and get paid the same. It's no wonder our cars cost the money to do. You take John Jalvin, he's doing fine. The one was here today. He retired and they called him back. He's doing real good. He's making some good money. But just exactly, but I think even one work on the line, so to speak, you know, assembly line, they make 25,000-30,000 and more. And a lot of them make overtime, they make 35,000-40,000.
And then a lot of fringe benefits, free medicine or...
They get everything. And the wife gonna have a baby, that's taken care of, and they get sick, they get paid, and the hospitalization, the whole thing. It's the French benefit is worth so much money. So you cannot beat it, it's impossible. So if you are in the construction company, you know, you can't have all them French benefits, you price yourself out of everything. And Social Security you got to pay into, of course they pay in a lot of money too in Social Security, so does everybody. You know, that was the best thing ever happened, Social Security.
Yeah. And no, I didn't go back. That was before Christmas, I said, no, I said.
No, it was before Christmas, I remember that.
Then he said, call me when Christmas is over, holidays.
They was trying to get her back in the worst way. That was silly. She should have gone back and forth.
Did you know I had to go early and take the bus? We lived in Baltimore.
No, we lived on North End at that time.
And what time did you start in the morning?
You know, the worst part of it all is she never learned to drive a car.
Never?
When I wouldn't I didn't have any car anyway. I tried.
Well, but we could have bought another old car.
Well, he has a good chauffeur.
Huh? Oh, well, I didn't have. I was working. I couldn't take it there.
You didn't work out of town. You wasn't home. You didn't
we was,
there.
Huh?
You didn't come home night.
Well, I was working in Lansing, that's right.
Yeah,
when I was working on the hospital there, 43, when she, we had the hospital, we was building the hospital in Saginaw, one in Lansing, and I was in Lansing.
So, yeah. Have you compared now, you have brothers left in Sweden?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Well, I did have 4 brothers, and 3 of them is dead.
But they stayed in Sweden?
No, they stayed in Sweden, yes.
How did they fare now compared to your work over here? How did they do over there?
Well, I think they did real good. I tell you, 2 of my brothers, Gustav and Gustav, I have to use the names, of course, they both did today too. What they did, they had a, when we was there in 48, they had a nice, pretty nice home. And it was pretty new too. What they did, they tore that down and made apartment, about eight apartments. Tore down and built a big apartment. How they financed it, I really don't know, but they borrow money and they financed it. And I think they did real good and they built that in after 48. They lived in the old house when we was home. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
But in 48, but when we come back there in 67, they had these apartments in Moy. They was nice, and they rented them out and got good rent for them. Rent is high in Sweden. So I think they did good. And then I had another brother. He was working as a plumber.
Yeah.
Yeah. And him and his wife and his daughter, they came here in... when did they come here? He was home 67, 72. They came here in 74. Mm-hmm. Something like that. So they've been over, but it was just one. Yeah, but they are gone now. And they all was younger than I.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So they stayed in Sweden. And your sisters and...
Mm-hmm.
They stayed
they
also
have
in
sisters,
Sweden.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, their wives is all living.
They won't even... them, she said, I'm going to America, you know, to see us. She said, but she won't go. I don't like to go up in the airplane either, but I go. And I so she won't go. She's scared.
Yeah, it's a different idea.
Well, the way they've been doing it, you know, isn't the easiest thing.
That's right.
But they were born after we left. Well, one was three months old, I guess. So they didn't know me when we started to go back.
Mm-hmm.
So when do you become a citizen?
As soon as I could. I think at that time you came in 23 and you had to be here 7 years before you could get the paper. So you see 1930-31 I got the paper in the bank vault in the safety deposit box.
You took it out before I did.
Then, you see, she wasn't going to take it out, but then the war broke out. And I come home one day, I said, you better go and get your paper right now, or they'll send you back to Sweden.
They send me on the ocean and leave me then, you said.
Whatever, I said.
So she took all the papers then?
Oh, she went and got her paper. No problem.
Scare tactic, huh?
Huh?
Scare tactic.
Yeah, right.
Well, I was so bashful, Jewish,
and then you joined the Vasa Lodge in Norden in 1924.
1923, same year as I came here, yeah.
And you got the hospitalization then, if you got sick, you got the...
Yeah.
You had the hospitalization plan.
Yeah.
Both of you?
Yes.
Yeah, what did we get? You got $7 and I got $9 a week if you got sick.
But there was a pretty good coverage though for that time.
It was not bad that time, that's true. That time.
There was no other insurance for people.
Huh?
There was no other insurance for the Swedes.
No. If you didn't take out some other insurance. But
you
that
didn't have any insurance other than the Vasa then?
Huh?
You didn't have any other hospitalization insurance?
Not at that time, no. Heck, no. You had enough to buy some groceries and
you didn't take out anything until 1940s then sometime? Other insurance like Blue Cross and so on?
Well, we have had, of course, when I was in the company, how the heck was that? The company, we had that set up, so the company paid for our insurance.
Oh, you had a group insurance?
A group insurance, but then when we retire, or when I got out of the company, I have my own Blue Cross and Blue Shield and Medicare. And that's right. And that's something you absolutely cannot be without.
So the Vasa hospitalization is not enough today?
That don't mean anything. In fact, we haven't got anything now. We ain't paying into it. In fact, they did run out of money or whatever it was. You see, our Vasa, the one we belong to, Norden 350.
They belong to a superior.
No, we belong to... Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
That's right. Seven members, nine, I guess. But one is 90, and Mrs. Then we have a social member, and Mrs. Feaster must be 90. Mrs. Feaster. And she's just, what did I say it was?
90.
No, she's a social member.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. And Mrs., they're all over 80. All over 80 belongs to Vasa.
So many died.
Well, so you see, if you want to, we can go and join Mike and see him when John and Lily is, take transfer.
But you belong to the Vasa all the time?
All since 1923.
No other Swedish lodge?
No. Huh?
There are no other?
No. Belong to Vasa. So we're the oldest member there now,
yeah,
in the Vasa Lodge. Yeah.
And then you belong to Salem Lutheran Church.
And say we joined that too. Same, we didn't go to church much in Sweden when 1923, you know. But Victor Eriksson, he was a recording secretary in church or finance secretary or whatever, mm-hmm, where I stayed, that was an aunt to Gertrude too. Victor Eriksson was married to his sister to her father,
yeah.
So he was all mixed in. So when Sunday came, you know, I think we got here on the middle of the week or whatever it was.
I don't know if it was on a Saturday or not.
We went to church the first Sunday we was here.
Yeah.
You know, that was so unusual, oh boy. So then you know, then they wanted the, what did I say it was? Kyrkbetyget, no.
Fritidsbetyget.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
So then they kept that in church for 30 years or 40 years or whatever. But I got it back. I don't know if I asked for it or what. And they had it there, so I got that in the safety deposit box, too.
Yeah, you asked for it.
You had those papers back, but the oranges are all gone.
Huh?
All the oranges
are gone. You never paid for them either. That was a deal.
Yeah, sure, that's the truth. There was nobody wanted money then.
You know,
it looks so dumb. I had a red hat,
red hat, that's it. Didn't they put something on your blouse too?
That's why they picked me.
You had a red hat. By God, there was something wrong with you.
Slut på intervju med Jan Lindström och hans hustru i Flint, Michigan. Och det är idag den 10 februari 1986. Slut på intervjun.